feeling is weird. Some days you're okay and you're doing just fine. Other days it still hurts like it's fresh. It's a process with no definitive time frame. You just have to keep going and know that when all is said and done, you're going to be okay.
Welcome back to Navigating Life with Neurodiversity. Today marks the final of a three-part series diving deeper into something universally essential yet uniquely complex for neurodivergent individuals, and that has been self-harm, suicide, survivor's guilt, and now the paradox of both love and acceptance. Let us start with something we can all agree on. Love and acceptance are not optional extras in life. They are essential needs. Psychologists, including the famous Abraham Maslow, have long emphasized how critical social connection is, placing it just above physical safety in our hierarchy of needs. Humans are biologically hardwired for intimacy, and without it, we risk loneliness, anxiety, and depression. One of the harshest punishments available in the UK justice system is solitary confinement. But what happens when neurodiversity adds complexity to this universal quest for acceptance? There is a widespread myth that autistic individuals prefer solitude. But research strongly disputes this. A comprehensive 2021 study published in the Journal of Autism and Developmental Disorders highlighted that autistic individuals frequently seek deep, meaningful connections characterized by trust, loyalty, and authenticity. These relationships often mean more than many superficial interactions typical within broader society. Yet autistic expressions of love may not fit with conventional social norms. Traditional displays of affection, like spontaneous hugs or emotionally charged conversations, can feel confusing or overwhelming due to sensory sensitivities or communication differences. Autistic individuals often show affection through nuanced and highly personalized actions, something like remembering and gifting a partner's favorite flowers, sending a song linked to a meaningful shared memory, or just quietly taking care of tasks that make their partner's daily life a little bit easier. I recall one autistic individual's story where their way of showing love involved meticulously organizing their partner's workspace, denoting how much stress clutter caused them. Another shared anecdotes of regularly sending songs or playlists that spoke volumes about their emotional landscape, capturing feelings and experiences that they couldn't otherwise articulate. These expressions, while subtle or unconventional, signify profound affection and deep emotional connection. This mismatch between expectation and authentic autistic expression can cause misinterpretation, leaving autistic individuals feeling misunderstood or isolated, even whilst expressing immense love. Self-love can be especially challenging for neurodivergent individuals, who often internalize societal narratives suggesting that they are inherently flawed or wrong. Continuous exposure to rejection, misunderstanding, and criticism from society can deeply erode self-worth, making true acceptance of oneself exceedingly difficult. Recent studies have indicated that autistic individuals frequently experience heightened levels of anxiety, depression, and self-criticism, partially due to societal rejection and misunderstanding. Many internalize these negative experiences, struggling profoundly with self-worth and self-acceptance. Anecdotally, many autistic adults describe constant battles with self-doubt and imposter syndrome, often feeling compelled to seek external validation even when in routine aspects of daily life. Simple accomplishments might not feel valid unless explicitly recognized by others. This ongoing internal conflict underscores how crucial and challenging self-love is for neurodivergent individuals. Attachment theory provides valuable insight into these emotional complexities. Our earliest relationships significantly shape how we perceive ourselves, others, and the world. Secure attachments in childhood foster healthy trust and emotional intimacy, while inconsistent or neglectful relationships can cultivate insecure attachment patterns like anxious or avoidant styles. For individuals on the spectrum, early interactions often involve frequent misunderstandings, sensory overwhelm, or social rejection, even from well-meaning caregivers, potentially fostering insecure attachment patterns. Particularly, autistic individuals often develop anxious attachment styles, driven by uncertainty about social acceptance or fear of misunderstanding. This heightened anxiety makes neurodivergent individuals especially vulnerable to manipulation, notably by avoidantly attached partners. Avoidant individuals may initially shower affection through love bombing, offering intense and attention and validation that anxious individuals crave. Over time, these patterns can evolve into emotionally manipulative relationships, making it extremely challenging for the anxious neurodivergent partner to assert boundaries or leave. I've seen and experienced firsthand how this anxious, avoidant dynamic can intensify feelings of insecurity, dependency, and confusion, leaving autistic individuals constantly seeking validation from a parasitic partner who remains emotionally unavailable. Trauma profoundly impacts attachment patterns, especially among autistic individuals. Leading trauma experts, including Dr. Judith Herman, Dr. Bessel van der Kolk, emphasize how traumatic experiences reshape the brain's understanding of safety, trust, and attachment. Autistic individuals already sensitive to social rejection often experience amplified effects from trauma, leading to severe emotional distress, conditions like rejection sensitivity dysphoria. One notable outcome is trauma bonding, identified prominently in research by Dr. Patrick Carnes. Trauma bonding occurs when an individual becomes emotionally attached to someone who intermittently provides affection amid cruelty or neglect. Carnes emphasizes that the sporadic reinforcement of affection creates an addictive emotional bond, deeply embedded in the brain's reward pathways. Personally, my experience in mentally and physically abusive relationships has significantly shaped my attachment style. Despite deeply craving physical contact, I now often find myself hesitant or fearful, conditioned to view gestures of genuine affection with suspicion. My mind, having been repeatedly exposed to manipulation disguised as kindness, is now hardwired to anticipate ulterior motives, creating a continuous internal struggle between craving closeness and fearing manipulation. For neurodivergent people already navigating heightened anxiety around acceptance and validation, these intermittent gestures become disproportionately meaningful. Experts highlight how victims often perceive rare kindness as critical validation of their worth, making them fiercely attached to toxic relationships. Breaking free is exceptionally challenging because leaving feels like losing the very validation they've been conditioned to desperately seek. For myself, the way my brain works with the savant syndrome is that I am hardwired to problem solve. And whilst this is great professionally, in my personal life, it manifests itself as a deep mistrust of those around me, often meaning I make contingency plans for a seemingly inevitable betrayal. People have been known to say to me, "You have an answer for everything, don't you?" And I do, but that's because I've already predicted this conversation and all of its variations. However, my human desire for validation and connection, when manipulated in the right way, will force me to override the logic patterns that I have built my framework around. Essentially, I wanted to believe their lie so much that instead of challenging the lie, I challenged reality. Because I've been told time and time again that the way my brain works isn't normal, maybe just this one time, I am actually wrong. That's where the spiral begins. One small distortion of reality will spiral me into believing the most laughable of excuses. Autistic individuals often form deep emotional attachments to people who become their safe spaces. I spoke in an earlier episode about emotional safety blankets and social safety blankets, and these rare relationships allow them to unmask, to show their true, unguarded selves without fear. Experts, including Dr. Stephen Porges and his polyvagal theory, emphasize that true intimacy and safety can profoundly impact mental and emotional well-being, particularly in neurodivergent individuals who regularly face a chaotic sensory and social world. However, my experience has also revealed a dark side to this need for safety and authenticity, because the people I have previously considered my safe spaces or my home eventually become the individuals exploiting my vulnerabilities. My home becomes a prison, a hellish space where my authentic self gets weaponized against me. The same safety that allowed me to unmask became the mechanism by which I was manipulated and tormented, creating a devastating emotional contradiction. Recovering from this betrayal and rebuilding trust in the concept of safe spaces has been a painstaking journey of relearning what true intimacy and genuine safety should look like. To be clear, intimacy and genuine safety is not about sexual experience or sexual chemistry. It is about being able to be your authentic self 24/7 with a partner who actively chooses you above all else. I do still believe that authentic intimacy transcends conventional physical notions, that true intimacy means being genuinely understood, accepted, and safe enough to express vulnerability. Such relationships, when genuine, provide much needed calm and clarity in an otherwise overwhelming world. Healing from these complex attachment patterns and traumatic experiences involves cultivating compassion and understanding towards oneself, recognizing behaviors not as defects, but as adaptations to past trauma or social rejection is vital. Therapeutic approaches tailored for neurodivergent experiences, particularly trauma-informed therapies such as EMDR, cognitive behavioral therapy, or compassionate mind training, can significantly facilitate healing. Positive recovery also involves consciously recognizing healthy versus unhealthy love. Healthy relationships consistently offer emotional safety and mutual respect, genuine acceptance without conditions. Conversely, unhealthy relationships involve manipulation, conditional affection, or emotional inconsistency. Learning to differentiate between these is crucial. Personal experiences taught me that the importance of trusting my instinct, the understanding that true intimacy should never feel dangerous, manipulative, or conditional. Practical tips for recovery include establishing clear boundaries, seeking supportive and neurodiversity-affirming communities, journaling to build self-awareness, and consistently engaging in self-care practices. Above all, patience and kindness towards yourself during this journey are essential. Recognizing and differentiating between healthy and unhealthy relationships is a fundamental part of my own healing experience. Trying to learn that genuine love doesn't require constant vigilance or fear has allowed me to gradually rebuild trust both in others and within myself. One tip that I can share with you all is if the partner you're chasing seems to constantly bounce from person to person, then they are likely a narcissistic parasite, looking to drain you of any positivity before they move on to their next victim. People don't meet the love of their life every few weeks. They meet them once. Remember that your journey towards love and acceptance is a testament to your resilience and your strength. Your diversity isn't something to overcome. It is an integral part of your identity. It's worthy of celebration. By embracing your true self, this path forward towards meaningful, healthy connections opens. Thank you for joining me on today's conversation on navigating life with neurodiversity. Until next time, embrace who you truly are.
I hope you find some peace of mind in this lifetime.
Tell them the truth.
I hope you find some paradise.